here tonight. What a wonderful presence that we feel. God is so good to us. Amen. We do love you all, to appreciate you, appreciate the church here. Amen. God's so good, isn't he? I enjoy when the Lord allows the opportunity for me to stand out there and worship with you. I just feel like I enjoy it. Amen. I enjoy worshiping the Lord. I enjoy every church service that I am, or strive to. Amen. I strive to. I have to admit, there's been a few times maybe I didn't prepare my heart or didn't get in like I needed to. But I'm telling you, anytime I've come to church with purpose in my heart to worship him, God has blessed me so, and trust that is the same for you here this evening. Amen. Go in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Amen. And we trust God to help us. I want to preach to you tonight on a thought that's been on my heart and kind of been praying this in my own life. How many know spiritual warfare is a real thing? Amen. And I remember a few years ago, I had taught through Ephesians chapter 6 here. As you know, if you were here Wednesday night, we started teaching in the book of Ephesians as well. I'll doubt we'll go all the way to chapter 6. But I remember in the past I have taught on the Holy War is what I titled it. And I remember just how much the Lord had challenged my heart in these verses. I want to read these verses about warfare to you. And we're going to start reading there in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6. And I'll tell you the point that we're going to focus on here in just a few moments. But I feel to read these verses, and we'll go all the way, if I'm not mistaken, we'll go all the way to verse 20 with the Lord's help here. So notice Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Ephesians 6 and 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of whose might? His might. Put on the whole armor of God." Whose armor is it? It's God's armor. It's his might. It's God's armor. "That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God." Now, I want you to notice that there. He's telling us we got to take something here. We need to take the whole armor of God. We've got to put it on. We need to take the whole armor of God. Continuing there in verse 13, "that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Now notice verse 18 here, because a lot of times we don't think to tie this into the armor of God, but it is a part of it. And notice what it says, "praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Notice again in verse 18, after he lists the armor, tells us about our enemy up there in verse 12, tells us about this wonderful armor that we have. Then he talks about praying always. Now, I want you to notice this here today. I would title this the warrior's strength, or our energy for battle. Brothers and sisters, we know that we're fighting a real enemy. At times, I don't know how much we really realize that, but the fact is we are fighting a real enemy, real demons, real spirits. And I believe that in our prayer lives, when we engage in prayer, I believe you can feel that. I know we can if we're living as we should. And I want to talk to you today about the warrior strength. How many knows we need strength for battle? We all need strength for battle. Fight another day, no matter who you are. If you're engaged in this fight, you need strength for battle. And here recently, I've been down praying and said, "God, give me strength." And I'm telling you, this is where we're going to find it. We're going to find it on our knees. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you in prayer, we love you and we thank you, God, for your goodness, your mercy, and your kindness. God, we ask you, Lord, that you would just move in this service right now, Holy Ghost. God, we have an urgency in the hour in which we live. We're fighting a real enemy. God, we need energy. We need strength, God. We need courage. We need boldness. We need purpose, God. We need all these things. But God, it's going to come through prayer. God, we need to pray one for another. Pray for the church, God. Pray for our country. And pray for all these different needs, God. Help us to do so in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I want you to notice here that Paul kind of brings prayer into this view as the crescendo or the climax at the end of mentioning the armor of the Lord. Many times I don't think that maybe we put these two together, but really here in Ephesians chapter 6, it is imperative that we understand that Paul saw the need of prayer and warfare. That if we even though we have the whole armor of God, we still need the strength and we need the stamina and we need the courage to fight the fight that we are in. Doesn't matter how good your armor is, if you don't have the energy, doesn't matter how sharp the sword is, if you do not have the strength to wield or yield the sword. So understand this. I want you to notice there in verse 18, if you would, that the concept, this word all is mentioned four times here in this verse. It is very far-reaching. Number one, he says, praying always. The concept of all is there. So praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So there, you see that this concept of always or all mentioned several times there in verse 18. Let me show you the first point there. I'm going to kind of walk us through these verses 18 through 20. If you want to look in your Bibles, you may find it easier to follow along with me there in the scriptures. But notice there in verse 18, the first thing that Paul mentions is praying always, or if we were to put this in a little more simple terms, it's constant prayer, which means praying all of the time. Now, if you're like me, many times I've asked that question, Lord, how can I pray all the time? You know, am I going to be going down the road with my eyes closed? Let me go ahead and tell you, please don't do that. That is a hazard and it is dangerous. But what does it mean, and just exactly what, and it means just exactly what it says. There doesn't need to be an explanation really, but just we may need to kind of give a little bit of information about what this means throughout the rest of the Bible. Jesus said in Luke 21 and 36, watch and pray always. The early apostles said in Acts 6 and 4 that that they gave themselves continually to prayer. It said about Cornelius in there in Acts chapter 10 that he prayed to God always or frequently. Paul in Romans 12 and 12 says that continue diligently in prayer. Colossians 4 and 2, continue in prayer. Philippians 4 and 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. And of course, in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, pray without ceasing. So we see this concept of constant prayer mentioned several times in the Bible. We see it several times. Praying without ceasing. Now, what this does, and I want you to follow me here for the next few moments. What this does, this stretches us beyond just a recited prayer. This shows us that prayer in our prayer life is actually something that kind of surrounds everything that we do. Now, this cannot mean that we read about these prayers, once again, doesn't mean that we just need to have a formula or maybe this amount of time. I've had people ask me that over the years, Brother Derek, when should I pray and how long should I pray? There is really no formula for that. We understand that all throughout the Bible that there's many different things that we can look at there. But I like what one writer said like this. He said, if you will, have God-colored glasses on, which means throughout your day and throughout your life, constantly keep God in view. I mean, I'm sure you do this in your life. You ever kind of just, you're sitting there, you're going about your routine throughout the day, and you find yourself just praying, and maybe even sometimes you're praying just out of your heart. You're walking down the road, or you're at your job, or you're sitting at your desk, whatever it is, and I've even prayed going down the roads with my eyes open, I will say, praying, asking God to be with us, to help us, and there's even times in prayers of thanksgiving, I'll just say, thank you, Lord. God, you're good, because we are to have a spirit of prayer. David said it like this, I have set the Lord always before me. I have set the Lord always before me. Everything in his life was filtered through that God-enhanced vision. So that's what Paul is saying here. Yes, we should be ready for battle. Yes, this is a true warfare, but we need to be praying constantly about everyday life. I'm telling you, the enemy is constant. The enemy is always looking for opportunities and inroads into our life. There's never a moment where the enemy is just kind of, you know what, saying, today I'm just going to leave the world alone. I need a vacation. I'm telling you right now, the devil takes no vacation. We need to be steady. We need to persevere as well. Second thing I would have you notice is this. There is a variety of prayers. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So notice this. Supplication is basically the word petitions. What does that mean? All kinds of prayer. You pray all the time and you pray all kinds of prayers. I want you to notice that. I like what one writer, he began to try to list different kinds of prayer, and listen to what he says. There is public prayer. There is private prayer. There is verbal. There is silent. There is loud. There is soft. There is deliberate, planned and unplanned, spontaneous, request, thanks, confession, humiliation, praise, standing, kneeling, lying down, lifting up your hands, putting your hands down, name it. Pray is what he's trying to say. We need to pray. It's amazing. Nobody here, I would assume when you're praying all by yourself, I'm sure maybe there's some similarities, but nevertheless, we all may pray very differently than somebody else, some louder, some quieter. Some like to walk around. Some like to kneel down. Some like to sit in the pew. We just need to pray, and we must understand that. So every kind of prayer is expressive of every emotional attitude, of every kind of thinking, and every kind of circumstance. Pray all kinds of prayer. Prayer in general, petitions and definite prayer. I could list them on and on and on. Why is that? Because prayer is a part of our defense against the enemy. This is a part of the armor. This is part of our protection. This is what allows us to defeat the schemes of Satan and the enemy. We pray prayers of thanksgiving. There's times we're rejoicing. There's times that we are crying, but we need to pray all kinds of prayers. Now, we're not talking so much about here prayers that are just in a prayer book. There's some churches that have a book of prayer. And to be honest with you, there's nothing really evil about that. I confessed to you in the past that I love Puritan prayers. I know it sounds strange to you, but I actually have a Puritan prayer book written back in the, somebody collected all these prayers, and man, I'll read them sometimes and weep and cry. But I'm telling you, it's got to be more than just something that is rehearsed. It's got to be more than just something that we say when we come to church. And it's got to be more than even just the Lord's Prayer that we just say half-heartedly. You've got to pray, and you've got to mean it when you pray. A pastor once heard a preacher preach a sermon on why you must pray in the morning, and the preacher was going on about this. But if you look in the Bible, in reality, if you flip through the Bible, we read in Psalms 55 and 17 that says, evening and morning and noon will I pray. Luke 6 and 12, Jesus said he continued all night in prayer. In 1 Timothy 5 and 5, it says the godly widows who are supported by the church are known to pray day and night. So basically what I'm trying to tell you is you need to pray. I know we know that, but be reminded that you need to pray. Now, with that said, let me mention a few other things here about the manner of prayer in which we are to pray. Now, this is kind of more getting into the aspect of warfare here. Now, please want you to listen, because notice what he says, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So notice here, what we've got here is that prayer all the time in a variety, all kinds of prayer, with what kind of manner? With the manner of perseverance and alertness. You should be looking for the enemy and his plans and his schemes. Now, interesting here, the word here, perseverance, watching here, literally means, now notice this, lying sleepless. Anybody ever stayed up at night and couldn't sleep? My wife is envious that I can just fall asleep. And it really is true, and it's almost a shame sometimes. I'm just laying there, and I'm talking, and I'm asleep at night. I'm just worried. Now, when I go to bed, I'm ready to go to bed, I'll tell you that much. And you know, some of you might have no trouble going to sleep. But others of you, I will be honest with you, there's been a few nights, though, I could not go to sleep. And it usually happens when my wife will accidentally wake me up or a kid will make a noise and I'm laying there and I said, man, I can't believe they woke me up. You're laying there, your mind gets going and you're lying there sleepless. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All right. So there's a few of us in here can comprehend what I'm saying. So that's what this word means here, lying there sleepless. Many of us knows firsthand what that is like, maybe at one time or another. But the Lord used the same word when he spoke of his coming. Listen to what he says. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time's going to come there in Mark 13 and 33. In his discourse of the end times, he said, watch ye therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all things that shall come to pass. Luke 21 and 36, that's what it says there. So he's telling us it's the idea of watching, being alert, and being ready to go. Now, I know we have someone here that served in the military. Now, what is it called where you have to stay up and keep watch? Anybody know, is there a certain term? Guard duty? Okay, that guard duty. And I knew it was something simple, and I couldn't think of it. But guard duty, basically, everybody else is asleep. Do I have that right? Other folks are sleeping, but you and maybe another comrade there, you are not asleep, you are to watch. Now, I've never really had to experience that where somebody had to watch me sleep or, you know, it was dangerous or something like that, but some of you have. And what you notice about that is, why is somebody staying awake? Because there is the potential that there's some danger out there and that the enemy could come or the enemy could somehow sneak up on you and there take your life. How important is it, if we were to look at that in our military, how important is it in the great fight against the enemy that we here in the church also are watching and persevering and lying awake spiritually, watching for what the enemy wants to do? Brothers and sisters, we need to watch out for the enemy. If you don't mind me putting it this way, we need to lie sleepless at times, watching and praying. Watching, one writer says, notice this. He says, watching is what sights the enemy, and praying is what's going to fight the enemy. I like that. Watching is what sights the enemy, it sees him. Praying is what fights against the enemy. Spiritual warfare is serious business. It is something that is real. The enemy is real, and he seeks to harm us and our loved ones and destroy our testimonies and hinder the work of God. And we cannot take this battle lightly. But we all struggle at times with realizing just how severe this battle really is. Paul told us to persevere in our watching. But how many would agree that sometimes we may give up too soon? There's been seasons in my life I've been more watchful than others. And anytime you're not being watchful, and it usually comes when everything's just going well, you know what I mean? There's seasons of leisure. And look, thank God we have mountaintop experiences and times where everything goes well. But I'm telling you right now, there's been a few times when things were going too well, and you're almost looking around saying, things are going too well. Kind of looking around, and you're thinking to yourself, man, so, you know, to be sure, there's something coming sometime in my life. You know what I'm talking about. So understand, but even in those seasons where everything's at peace and everything is well, there still must be a watchman on the wall. Because Paul tells us to persevere in our watching. Once again, we can give up so soon. But once again, Satan never gives up. He is tireless. He is persistent. He is resourceful. He is desperate. And as we read there in Ephesians, we read about his network of things. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. There's this organized system out there of the enemy. Now, I try not to get wrapped up too much in some of the... I believe you can almost get lost in the world of demonology. I will tell you that. I think I'm a firm believer in this. I think it's healthy and wise to be aware of the enemy. But I also believe you ought to be more aware of the God that you serve more than you are aware of the enemy. There's some people that study so much into demonic and I'm telling you, they have these conferences, how to rout demons, how to cast them out, and all that stuff. What about fall in love with God and study Him? And I'm telling you right now, you fall in love with Jesus and God is able to protect you. Know about the one. Know about the Lord of hosts, the one that is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. So notice here, there's some people you can get lost in this, but it is true. There's something about the enemy that we fight and what we call this, and I know it's interesting, you may have studied it before, it's called territorial spirits, which means I believe. How many believes the demons are real? Let's start right. Okay, it's not a fairy tale. You know, are there two demons behind every tree? There may be three, or maybe none. I don't know, but I know they are out there. Now, I've as I'm up here talking, my mind is just coming up with memories of people I thought, man, they seen demons everywhere, and it kind of just threw you off. You're like, all right, man. You know, I'd rather see angels if I have a choice here. I mean, they seem demons in everything. But I will tell you this, demons are real and there's organization. And I believe even right here in Hampton, Virginia, there's certain spirits that have been around here a long time. Now, I know that sounds crazy to the world, but you read through the book of Daniel, and I know I've mentioned this here before, but take your time. Read through the book of Daniel. Read about the prince of Persia and read about all these different spirits that was fighting against the archangel there. It is amazing. We know that the enemy wants to resist the kingdom of God. They are real. We know that they are there, and we must be watchful. We must lie awake. Notice it goes on to say, and I find this interesting because he tells us all these different kinds of prayer. Notice this, making supplication for how many saints? All saints. Now, I find this amazing because how many saints are there? Oh, we don't know. How many countries are there? We can only, if we start naming countries, we can only name a handful of them. You know, there's countries out there. You know, your brother Harold Hanks was here, and many, some of you know him. And he said, "I've been to 60 countries." I said, "Is there?" And I said, "Brother Hanks, is there 60 countries?" And obviously there is. Take his word for it. Amen. But when you get studying and you look in that globe and all different continents are broken up, you say, "Man, there's a lot of places in this world." And I'm going to tell you, there's Christians that we don't even know exist. We are to pray for all saints. Now, how are we to do that? We obviously cannot pray for all these Christians by name. I can name everybody in this church. Yes, I could. Now, don't test me because I might mess that up. And I might put you on the spot. But I'll tell you right now, if there was another church here, I would say, "What's your name again?" "Yeah, I know we've seen each other. God bless you, brother or sister." And then you go to a camp meeting and you see a lot of people and it really gets bigger and bigger. Well, think about all the saints that are in the world. So how can we pray for all the saints, supplication for all saints? Now, what we can pray generally in cases where we do not know who they are, we can pray for specifically as well. Basically is this: Lord, you know who they are. Lord, touch them, give them strength. Those in other nations, God, touch them and help them. But guess what? I know I can pray for you in this church. Even though I pray for other saints, guess what? I can pray for them in a general sense. But yes, I can also pray for those that are right here. All the saints. Why is that? Because I can guarantee this. If you're a Christian, the devil is going to come against you. Notice the command here is to stand. Doesn't say pursue. It's not even offensive here. It's not talking about going out. It's talking about just standing is the nature of this passage, which means if you're a Christian, the enemy's going to come against you. The gates of hell, what's it say? Lord Jesus Christ is going to build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against you? You know, the gates of hell there is interesting as you study that out. The gates was actually a place where the leaders would meet to discuss their schemes and plans. So it's talking about the mindset, the schemes of hell. It's not going to come against the church. It's not going to destroy the church. But hear me, brothers and sisters, they sure will try to do so. They will try to do so. So we need to pray for all saints. Now, lastly, I like what Paul does here. He says, look, you know, all these kinds of prayer, be alert. But I like what, I want to ask you of this of Paul tonight, and I want you to put yourself in this verse. And for me. I want you to notice that. Anybody else stand in need of prayer? Paul is sitting here and he's saying, look, put on your armor, stand, pray always, pray for all the saints. And while you're at it, pray for me. Why? In verse 19, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So notice here, Paul asked for prayer for himself, not in a selfish way, but because he really needs prayer. I would dare say if anybody needed prayer, it might have been Paul. Notice what's the three things he prayed. And I have in my notes here three reasons to pray for preachers. Pray for me. Why? Number one, and for inspired utterance. Notice what Paul says, that utterance may be given unto me. He needs direction. He needs something to say, right? And I would say the same thing for you. You need something to say as well. Pray for utterance. Number two, it's not only good to have utterance or a word from the Lord, but my, you need boldness to preach it. We live in an hour where it's easy to be intimidated. And I'm going to tell you right now, holiness preaching, really, boy, it's got us against the wall. Folks don't like it. It's amazing. And I've learned this since I've been pastoring. You know, when I evangelized for that short season, and you know, it all seems like you just go to a church, you preach, and you leave. And sounds glamorous, but it really isn't. But you are different congregations. Everybody's excited about revival. And I realized something about pastoring. You got to be a pastor and you got to deal with some of the more doctrinal things. You got to deal with basic things and life, practical things. And I've learned since I've been here, you know, that as many that have come and gone over the last 5.5 years, I think it is, many that have come and gone. I will tell you this, there's some people that just do not like doctrinal preaching. I recently was having a conversation with a person about a very simple biblical doctrine. I don't know if it's that black and white. I'm like, no, it's pretty sure it's that black and white. You know, I don't know. That seems just so exclusive to say things like that. What it is in this day in which we live, they don't want you to preach what the Bible really says. And there's some things in the Bible people cherry pick all around us all the time. You got to be careful when you read the Bible. You don't pull it out of context. You don't find one little Old Testament story that you love and you change it to fit the way that you want it to fit your life. And you get excited about this, but I'm telling you, when you get in that New Testament, Paul deals with some things about our lives, about our hearts, about the church and the way that the church should function. The New Testament pattern, be honest with you, is not followed in many churches. It's rejected. I think we're blessed here at this church, and God's helping us become what we need to be. I don't feel that we're cut above anybody. I just feel that God's helping us. I know what God's doing in my heart. And I'm telling you right now, a true biblical church is not just about a pastor. I've been in some churches. I don't know why people in certain arenas, me and Brother Shane's talked about it before, they like to idolize pastors. And I don't feel that here at all. I feel like I'm just a human like the rest of you. I feel like you keep me, you know, you help me stay on pretty, you help me stay on ground level pretty good. Thank you for that. Why is that? And because that's the way a church should be. We live in a society of sermonizing, and it's just not popular. But what it is, ministers, elders, if there's a plurality of leadership, if there's several ministers in a church, and we are blessed with several men that are called in ministry in this church, and we have deacons, and we have elected positions, there has to be boldness to preach the word of the Lord in a society that does not want to hear truth. Third thing is this. He said, I need clarity of gospel preaching. Look, it's not only is it good to have an utterance from the Lord, not only is it good to open my mouth boldly, but Lord, you've got to make known the mystery of the gospel. And I'm going to tell you right now, that is a challenge in this world. Me and Brother Matthew's been talking about some stuff in creation, questions he's being asked in school. And it comes down to this, it's a mystery to this world. Some mystery to this world about creation. And it's nothing wrong with hard questions. And I think we'll do our best to answer them within reason. But God, not only give me an utterance and give me boldness, God, but I need clarity to share the gospel to a world. It's going to take the Holy Ghost doing it. I cannot do it. I have tried my best in this world to reason, but only God is able to do these things. I want to share a few facts why Paul. Now, notice this. Paul is not in Ephesus when he's writing this letter. Let me give you the narrative real quick or the setting. Most likely, we know that Paul is chained to a Roman guard, most likely. You know, we're reading about the whole armor of God, and most likely what Paul is doing, he's looking over there at this soldier, and he's kind of looking and talking about the helmet and the breastplate. He's looking at a Roman soldier and listing out these pieces of armor. It's amazing as you study this out. But notice this, he is at distance. He's saying, pray for me. Number one, why? Because prayer annihilates distance. Notice this, Paul was under arrest in Rome, and his readers were scattered throughout Asia Minor. But notice of it, but prayer takes no account of distance. You can be at distance and prayer can help you. Secondly, prayer annihilates dread. Paul was chained to a guard, charged with treason, and expecting to be before Nero, yet prayers of God's people could help him overcome his fears. And I'm telling you right now, you study anything about Nero, it would be a nervous place to stand. I hear people complain about our government so much at times, and I'll tell you this right now, you think we got it bad. You think we got it bad. There's other people in other nations right now. And that's why I have no respect for some of this mess going on out there complaining. And look, I understand there has been injustices done. I know that. But we should not become some social movement to where that's the only thing we talk about. If anybody was done wrong, it would be Paul and the Christians. I'm telling you, we are still blessed in our country. Also, prayer helps us in difficulty. There was going to be all these difficulties, and nevertheless, he was able to overcome them. Notice, last thing I want you to notice is this. It's found there in verse 20. Why is this? Why does he need prayer? I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. What is he saying when he is an ambassador? Now, an ambassador, as I was reading about this, when he says this, once again, these are Roman terms. Roman officials, and important officials, they had these men that they would send out as one of their personal representatives. Paul considered himself to be a personal representative of Jesus Christ. I would ask you, do you consider yourself to be such as you go out into this world? Are you a representative of the kingdom of God? Brother Derek, I want a position. Well, there you go. You got one. Be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. I would say this in confession, as we won't be much longer. I don't really always understand. I talk about prayer, and I have preached about prayer so much here over the years. I guess probably one of the reasons is I always feel like I need to do more of it. I can tell you that. How much do you need to pray? You need to pray more. Let's just put it that way. I need to pray more. You need to pray more. I'll be honest with you, though. I don't understand how it always works. It is mind-boggling that I'm even graced to do such a thing. But how it's mind-boggling how maybe a brother praying for me in Africa can lift my spirits as I minister in Virginia. Think about that. Or how my prayers in Virginia can help give a fresh surge of victory to a believer in China. I don't know how that works. Now, I know we're way past these days. You know, we're in an age of cell phones. You remember that old hymn, Telephone to Glory, what is it called?
Royal Telephone.
My uncle, my great uncle, he led singing from the church we were from. He would sing that, and be honest with you, I didn't have a clue what it was talking about. Central's never busy, always on the line. You can talk to Jesus almost any time. And you look, I think the song was written like in the early 1900s, and man, and had no practical application to any of us young folks. I don't know even, was anybody alive when you had to call and where somebody had to, you know, do all that stuff and all? Some of you maybe, I don't know. Some of you remember that? Wow. Okay. The only thing I remember is one of those, one that goes in circle. We still have one of those if Mike could sell it to a museum. It's one of them old ones, you know. But notice this is Central's never busy. I was thinking about that song, and it's amazing. But that's not even how prayer works. It's amazing that life is not like a telephone. Aren't you glad that you never lose reception when you pray? Oh, I've seen some people do some foolish things to get some reception. I've seen them stand on benches. I've heard of them climbing on top of houses. 3 days without the internet in a country area, and they don't have no cell phone reception. And my, they'll drive an hour to find some cell phone reception. Why is that? They've got to talk to somebody. But I'll tell you right now, prayer is something you don't have to have good cell phone connection. It's amazing that you could be laying somewhere and nobody knew about it, but God hears you. We need to pray. We need to pray. I know it's simple. I know we say it all the time, but prayer is a mystery to us. And we need to do more of it. Stand to your feet, if you would, as my wife goes to the piano. This is the key to spiritual warfare. Prayer. We need to pray. Well, Brother Derek, I know Paul tells us to stand. He tells us that we need to take the whole armor of God. He says that we need to have our loins girt about with truth. We need to have the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, above all, taking the shield of faith. He says, take the helmet of salvation, the sword. But then lastly, what he says is this, you need to pray. You need to pray. I need to pray. I would say, and once again, me and Brother Shane were talking about prayer just recently out here, talking about how we need to pray more. We need to pray more together. God help me to pray more. I tell you right now, we were talking, there's a minister we highly respect. I've been working on getting him here, Brother Zane Estes, wonderful minister. And what did he say? He said that any season of failure in his life or mishap, he's always been able to take it back, that I simply did not pray enough. I would say if there's been any error in my life, any moment of misjudgment, it goes back to this. I need to pray more. Can I encourage you, before you complain, pray? Can I encourage you to do that? Can I tell you, before we worry, pray? Before you give up, please pray. I prayed about it. Pray again. Why is that? Because I need energy. I need strength. I need stamina. I'm telling you, you're out there and you're fighting a warfare. It is said, and I don't have much experience in this. I know I don't have any experience as far as like actual combat. A little bit of fights I got into in high school wouldn't be considered a fight, especially when you get beat up. But I have heard this, that soldiers that engage in combat, that their adrenaline runs so high, their senses are sharpened. But when they are done, that their bodies are so exhausted because they've been so exerted. And I've talked to some different ones that fought in different wars, and it's amazing. They'll talk about how weary that it will make you in fighting, especially if you don't feel like there's no purpose and you don't feel like you just need strength. You need strength. You need energy. I believe many of you, that if you physical labor, you could say the same thing. But I'm telling you right now, spiritually, it is so true. I can testify of that. There's been seasons of life that I've needed God to give me strength. I've needed it. And I've stood there on the battlefield, and I felt the weight of the armor, and I felt the intensity of the battle. And I was able to kneel down, and all of a sudden a fresh touch of the Lord would come by. And I would say, yes, God, another day, another week, another month, another season. God, help us. Let's pray together. Find you a place to pray here this evening. Let God give you strength. I don't know all what you may be facing, but I know God's able to give you strength. Strength to live, strength to forgive, strength to stand, strength to live holy. Whatever it is, God is able to give us strength. Praying always. Praying always. With all prayer and supplication and spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. God, touch our church. God, grace us, God, with strength and energy for another day. God, we love you, Jesus.
I believe that there's a place to go. Instead